Hello and welcome to the CSFL Hub podcast. I'm your host as always, Kyle. Today we will be going over our week three slate of games. Lots of exciting football, more spectacular performances from guys all across the CSFL and the MSFL. So let's go ahead and hop right into it. Start with the CSFL this week. Our first game of the CSFL action was Army versus Penn. Army won that one 31-7. My player of the game is senior quarterback Mikhail Wilkie. He threw for 273 yards with two touchdowns to just one interception. Added 14 rushing yards with a rushing touchdown as well. So Army has started their season off strong, got their second win of the season. Mikhail Wilkie had the best game of his senior season so far, just two games in. Again, over 270 with two touchdowns. Also added a rushing touchdown to really put that game out of reach for the Quakers. Wilkie continues to show off his arm talent week in and week out, you know, making all the throws. Again, just throwing, being able to put the ball in tight windows is something that, you know, not a lot of guys can do. It's easy to throw to somebody who's wide open, you know, regardless of the level, regardless of the team. But Wilkie consistently makes those passes that let you know that he's a top-tier quarterback who can put the ball, you know, on guys in all three levels, tight coverage, wide open, you know, whatever he needs to do to help his team, he's capable of doing at the quarterback position, which is invaluable for our offense. And again, just a testament to the talent that he brings to the table week in and week out. And he did a really well-balanced job. He had a couple of guys throughout the day, a Seth Brown, a Kobe Simeon. So, you know, he's going to continue to spread the love around. Again, I don't know if they have a Donovan Mannion, a Tom Williamson, a Cody Knipp necessarily this year. But when you have three or four guys who are going to be capable, you know, receivers, it's going to be hard for teams to cover everybody. You can't cover everybody. You know, you only have one number one corner. If you're really, 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 really lucky, you have two top tier corners. But it's just going to be hard to go best on best across the board when they have three or four guys who so far this season been able to consistently make plays for Wilkie. And it's going to be easier to make plays when you have a quarterback like that throwing the ball. Junior running back Henry Beck led the team on the ground. He has 64 rushing yards with one touchdown. And senior wide receiver Kobe Semien led the team in receiving. He has 7 receptions for 86 yards for a touchdown. Defensive side of the ball, you know, the Black Knights were rolling, you know, very, very consistent for a while in this game. You know, Penn wasn't able to get anything. I think at halftime, they had like net, you know, 10 or 15 yards, something like that. Negative rushing yards at halftime, I believe. So it was a really, really tough night for them, but a great night for the Army defense. Junior defensive lineman Robert Braggs led the team with 9 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and he got a sack at the end to shore things up. Again, overall, just the Knights played really stifling defense. You know, Penn got a score late in the fourth quarter, I think, on their last possession, second to last possession. You know, positive for them there to string something together. But it was probably 2s, maybe even 3s in for Army at that point. So Army stays home next week as they welcome Navy to West Point. Again, Penn struggled in this one. They've been struggling so far this year. Poor offensive line play, you know, has not put them in positions to be competitive in some of these games. You know, despite winning against Cornell, they're a team who's, you know, talent-wise going to be on par with them. But in their two losses against Chestnut Hill and Army, you could just see a difference level, particularly up front, also with the skill players. But, you know, the poor offensive line play is not going to do them any favors. Junior quarterback Ty Scher consistently running for his life. You know, he only threw for 52 yards, had a touchdown late with an interception. But, you know, he hasn't necessarily been playing the type of football that Penn has become accustomed to, particularly at that position. Through his first three games as a starter, he has a completion percentage under 40%. And he has five interceptions to just one touchdown. This touchdown in this game was his first touchdown of the season. So, you know, it's not all on him. You know, football is a symbiotic sport. That's why it's the best team game in the world. But, you know, all poor offensive line play combined with, you know, maybe not as talented as a quarterback as they've had in years past, combined with, you know, wide receivers who are struggling to create separation, struggling to get open, you know, against competent corners and elite corners. It's just a recipe for an offense that Penn has not had to deal with maybe ever, or at least in the last decade. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see what they do moving forward and how they can improve week to week. Defensively, you know, the Army offense did whatever they wanted to do, particularly throwing the ball. Junior linebacker Jake Nsira did have 10 tackles. He had a tackle and a half for loss with an interception. He got the interception right after he exited the game. So it was a big momentum swing for the Quakers there. And then sophomore linebacker Ryan Harvath added 9 tackles. He had 2.5 tackles for loss. He had a sack and he had 2 forced fumbles. So Penn defense did, you know, they did some stuff. They forced some turnovers. You know what I'm saying? They competed, but there just wasn't a lot to do there whenever the Quakers did get the ball back on offense. So Penn heads into their bye week this week before they welcome St. Thomas Aquinas to Philadelphia. Next up, we have Navy versus Mansfield. Navy won this one 45-0. My player of the game was senior quarterback Brandon Atwood. He had 102 passing yards with 1 passing touchdown and 1 rushing touchdown. So Navy had a well-balanced attack in this one. Mansfield defense couldn't offer a lot of resistance. Wasn't the most prolific game from Atwood. We've definitely seen more passing yards from the senior. We've seen more rushing yards from the senior. But it was more than enough to get the job done. Very consistent football from him in this one. As a team, Navy ran for almost 230 yards, 227 to be exact. Combination of guys got their chance to tote the pill. Freshman running back Hunter Genix, senior Victor Otero, and junior Tyler Messina, and were the three guys who really spearheaded that rushing attack. Senior wide receiver Kai Sasaki has had a really strong start to the season. I think he caught a touchdown last week against St. Thomas Aquinas as well. He's led the team in receiving yards, I think, up until this point as well. So he's definitely been a welcomed addition to the team. He is, I think, a former lacrosse player. I don't know if he'll be playing lacrosse this year, but he is also currently a member of the Navy lacrosse team. So, again, testament to the level of athletes that we have in the MSFL and CSFL. We have a number of dual sport athletes between both leagues. So big ups to him and being able to lend his talents to the Navy Spring football team. He had 81 yards, 3 receptions for a touchdown. Defensively, junior defensive lineman Andrew Bailey was tied for the team lead with 6 tackles. He had 1.5 TFLs, also had a half a sack. And David Niske, junior defensive lineman, has been a strong player to start the season and has picked up where he left off last season. 5 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks. Navy hits the road next week to take on Army. Other side of this one, we have Mansfield. Again, they struggled. I think that's evident with the score. Big reason why, you know, unfortunately, junior quarterback Sid Raymond did not play this game. So junior quarterback Ben Briggs got the start, but was not productive offensively. He only threw for 6 yards with 1 interception. And the running game, which can be, you know, an explosive part of this Mansfield offense, could not get anything going as well. They had negative 35 total rushing yards. So, excuse me, in the absence of Raymond, you know, unfortunately, so much of their offense dynamic changes. And unfortunately, that was evident in this game. On the defensive side of the ball, know, their usual suspects are continuing to be high impact players. Junior linebacker Gavin Hinman led the team in tackles for the second straight game. He had 16 tackles for one with one tackle for loss. And then senior linebacker Matt Robert, who's now their all-time leader in career tackles, and the Sprint Football all-time leader in career tackles, added 12 in this one. So hopefully Mansfield can bounce back with some offensive production. Hopefully Raymond can return sooner rather than later. But regardless of his status, I know Mansfield is going to look to have more impressive offensive outputs moving forward. Mansfield heads back home next week as they welcome Caldwell to Northern Pennsylvania. Last CSFL action of the weekend was between St. Thomas Aquinas and Caldwell. Stack won this one 25-18. So this was a great one all the way through. My player of the game was junior quarterback Ryan Kenny. He threw for 235 with three touchdowns to just one interception. Also added 13 rushing yards. So Stack came in this one looking to bounce back after their week one loss to Navy. And they did just that, winning their first game against Caldwell since 2018. So just a second all-time win against Caldwell for the St. Thomas Aquinas football program. Despite an early deficit, they saw Caldwell score on their first drive with a trick play. Stack stayed the pace, stayed the course, stayed steady, and ultimately won the game with their defense proving to be too much for Caldwell, especially in that third and fourth quarter. Again, Kenny, season high 235 with three. He's another guy who is an arm talent. You know, I know that expression can be used a little loosely, can be thrown around a lot when you're talking about guys, but you're talking about a guy with big body, can push the ball down the field, can make throws on all three levels. You know, I think those type of guys really jump out at you on tape when you're watching film. And he's one of those guys. He consistently makes the throws that Stack needs to be competitive and win games. So there was another example of that for him, you know, on this night, which saw St. Thomas Aquinas beat Caldwell. Senior running back Bo Maroney, who also doubles as the team's kicker, led the team in rushing yards with 61. And then the receiving corps, St. Thomas Aquinas, played very, very well, especially when you consider the talent that Caldwell has in the secondary. Four different players got over 40 yards receiving in this one, with freshman wide receiver Nair Jones having the best game of his young career, finishing with four receptions, 69 yards, and two touchdowns. He also was a very explosive kick returner for the Spartans on this night. Very frequently gave the Spartans a very good starting field position. So big ups to Jones, having essentially the best game of his career so far, two games into the season. On defense, the team was led by their front seven and their usual suspects, a sophomore defensive lineman Donnell White and senior linebacker Chris Jones. The pair combined for 17 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss with one sack. Those are two names you hear quite frequently for the Spartans defense, Jones being a linebacker in the middle and Donnell White really, really propelling himself very quickly to the status of one of the best defensive ends in the CSFL. So those two leading the Spartans defense, they're going to be in a good spot for the rest of the season. And with White only being a sophomore, they're going to have a very talented player for years to come. St. Thomas Aquinas heads home next week to take on Chestnut Hill, who was on their bye this week. Other side of this one, we have Caldwell. They scored on their very first drive, but lost control of it as the game went on. Senior quarterback Frank DeMio threw for 148 yards. However, this was the first game of the season that he did not throw for a touchdown. So they kept Caldwell out of the end zone. They had a touchdown or two get called back. And, you know, that's why penalties are so detrimental. You know, no matter what team you are, no matter what level you play on, penalties that take points off the board just really sting and slow all momentum that you build up, you know, throughout the game with big plays and stops and things of that nature. So fortunately, first game for DeMayo not throwing for a touchdown. Sophomore running back Devin Turner continues to be a presence. However, he had his second 100-yard game of the season. He ran for 109 with a touchdown. So Turner continues to be a high-impact guy. You know, as of right now, he's looking like probably the best running back in the CSFL. So they're going to continue to lean on him for sure as they look to, you know, continue what has been a strong season up until this point. And with Stack, with the absence of Alderson Broaddus and Stack moving to the CSFL Southern Division, you know, this counts as a loss for Caldwell, but does not affect their in conference and division record. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they rebound from this loss with a chance to still have a very, very strong season. And with Army and Caldwell playing in the last game of the year, if Caldwell can win out in their conference, that last game should still decide who may go to the CSFL championship game. So be interesting to see how they rebound and respond moving forward throughout the season. Senior wide receiver Nadir Orsini led the team with 3 receptions, 75 yards, and a touchdown. And senior wide receiver Jeremy Colon was right behind him. He had 4 receptions for 72 yards. The Cougars defense was led by senior defensive lineman Darian Davis, who had a team high 9 tackles with 2 tackles for loss. Caldwell hits the road next week as they go visit Mansfield and Upper PA. And we're going to get into our MSFL action 4 games in this one. First up, we had Walsh versus Oakland City. Walsh won this one 41-8, and my player of the game was freshman wide receiver Keon Hawkins-Sims. He finished the game with 4 receptions, 119 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So Walsh has won their first game in program history, so congratulations to them, and they did so in very dominating fashion. 41 points, but also the defense forced 7 turnovers. So both sides of the ball just absolutely could not be stopped for the Cavaliers. Sophomore quarterback Kyrie Fox threw for a career-high 193 yards with 2 touchdowns. And then on the ground, freshman running back Josiah Lane ran for a career-high 103 yards. So career day for basically all of the Cavalier major contributing players, the needle movers on this team. So I know they're going to be riding high after this win, you know, not only the first win of the season, but the first win in program history. And, you know, all-time great games from, you know, everybody from the quarterback to the running backs to the receivers to the defensive players. Again, freshman wide receiver Keon Hawkins-Sims continues to be, you know, maybe the most impressive freshman receiver in the MSFL this season. And definitely one of the most impressive players in spring football this year, particularly as a freshman. 4 receptions, 119 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So he was a major catalyst for the Walsh offense on this day. And then defensively, there was no shortage of spectacular performances. Freshman defensive lineman Tyantata Sellers had a career day, finishing with 8 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, and 1 sack with 1 fumble recovery. 5 tackles for loss, you know, puts him up there with a lot of guys who have had spectacular careers, spectacular seasons, spectacular games. He's definitely in some rare company. You get 5 tackles for loss or more, you're going to be a top 4 or 5 guy in terms of tackle for loss in a game. Definitely already setting a strong precedent and standard there for tackles for loss in a game to start Walsh's history as a program in the MSFL. So definitely big ups to him and what he was able to accomplish on this day. Freshman defensive back Willie Wallace had a great day as well. 3 tackles, 1 tackles for loss with 2 interceptions. So total of 5 Cavaliers had an interception in this game. Really, really strong performance on both sides of the ball for the Cavaliers. And they earned their first win in program history. Walsh hits the road next week, looking to continue their winning ways against Fompon. Other side of this one, we had Oakland City, who definitely struggled. Again, 7 turnovers is going to be hard to win a football game. Freshman quarterbacks Dylan Grant and Darius Pope combined for 59 yards with the 6 interceptions. So it is really going to be hard to sustain winning football, obviously, when you turn the ball over that much. There was some offensive production to, you know, take out of this one as a positive. Freshman running back Jamal Johnson Had a career high 88 rushing yards on the ground. He had about 99 net, you know, lost some due to tackles for loss, things of that nature. But again, that's a positive offensive performance you can take out of that one and say, hey, we did something well. How can we get more of that? And why wasn't this able to contribute to, you know, a winning performance? So definitely something positive there. Freshman wide receiver Devontae Gilbert was one of the only presence players in the receiving core. He had two receptions for 48 yards. Freshman defensive lineman Braden Wathen had a team high 8 tackles, had half a tackle for loss, half a sack with a forced fumble. And then freshman defensive back Kanye Johnson, who's been a guy who's been very impressive for Oakland City so far to start the season, had another good game for them. 7 tackles, 2 tackles for loss with a sack, 1 forced fumble, and 1 fumble recovery. So Kanye Johnson has been, again, a guy who's been a difference maker for them. So there's been some positive performances for Oakland City thus far in the season, despite being 0-3. Again, now Wash has their first record for a first win on their record, but Oakland City will still be looking to get that first win in program history sometime this year. Oakland City continues that search as they head home next week to take on CCSJ. Bellarmine versus Midway is our next one, and Bellarmine won this one 27-7. My player of the game was sophomore running back Brendan Reed. Had a great day back to regularly scheduled programming with him. He had 129 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, also added a reception in there for 12 yards. So Brendan Reed and Bellarmine get back to what they usually do, which is having a dominant ground game. Also, the passing game has had their best performance of the season so far. Freshman quarterback Luke Worley threw for 115 yards and a touchdown. That is the first touchdown, passing touchdown, that is, of his career. So congratulations to him and what he was able to accomplish on this one. I know that was a long time coming. You know, 3 games, no passing touchdowns can certainly be frustrating, but he finally got that monkey off his back. And it'll be interesting to see how the Bellarmine offense, the Bellarmine passing game, evolves from this point moving forward. Again, Brendan Reed is the catalyst for them, similar to the way Cassid Raymond is the catalyst for the Mansfield defense. When he's on, they're on. When he's off, they're off. So, you know, he had a down game the last game after a monster game the first game. So it's good to see him return to, you know, some normalcy there. Again, almost 130 yards with 2 rushing touchdowns is the type of numbers we usually see for him. A graduate running back Gavin Fushi and freshman running back Derek Gant were actually the leading receivers on the day. They combined for 7 receptions and 83 yards. On the defensive side of the ball, you know, there was a lot of love to go around, but sophomore linebacker Caleb Murray and then freshman defensive back Baker Hadaway combined for 12 tackles. Those two guys were two of the leading tacklers on the day. So Bellarmine hits the road next week as they go play St. Mary of the Woods College, both teams being 3-0. So last 2 unbeatens in the MSFL will go head-to-head next week. Then next up we have Midway. Midway was in this one early, scoring a touchdown in the first quarter, but after that they could not stop the Knights. Freshman quarterback Keegan Hill threw for 219 yards with 1 interception. The passing game was clicking, but no touchdowns through the air. Freshman running back Matthew Young, who's been a breakout player for them, led the team with 56 rushing yards and a touchdown. Sophomore wide receiver Rudy Loomis was the star receiver for Midway on that day. 5 receptions for 98 yards. While freshman wide receiver Damian Miller was not far behind with 4 receptions for 78 yards. Then you go to the defensive side of the ball for Midway. Freshman linebacker Nolan Watson led the team with a game-high 11 tackles. Also had 1.5 TFLs. And then freshman defensive lineman Peyton Brazier also had a very impactful game. 9 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss with 1 sack. So Midway was in it early, but again, the Bellarmine running game just methodically marching down the field, Just proved to be too much for Midway to overcome in this one. Midway hits the road next week to take on Quincy. Next up, we have St. Mary of the Woods College versus Fontbonne. SMWC won this one 44-6. So at the start of this one, Fontbonne was undefeated. So this was a matchup of undefeateds, and St. Mary of the Woods College came out of this one in dominating fashion. My player of the game is two guys, one on offense, one on defense. Sophomore wide receiver Devron Johnson had four receptions, 137 yards with two touchdowns. And freshman defensive lineman Andrew Brown had 11 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery, 1 interception. One of the better defensive stat lines you will see in the MSFL or the CSFL. So explosive passing plays and just tough, tough defense was the name of the game for the Pomeroys in this one. Junior quarterback Jeremiah Toski threw for 260 yards, 2 touchdowns with 1 interception. And the dominant Pomeroys running game is been one of their calling cards this season, and it was in this game. You know, despite throwing for more yards than rushing yards for one of the only times this season, they still ran for 113 yards as a team, with junior running back Keandre Jones leading the way with 60 yards himself. And again, sophomore wide receiver Devron Johnson had maybe the best game of his career, 4 receptions, 137 yards, 2 touchdowns, really, really big, explosive 70 plus yard receiving touchdown. Just as a guy who could take the top off the defense, took a little touch pass to the crib. I think that was 40, 45 yards as well. So really, really, really explosive player. And he is definitely, I think comfortably now, you can say one of the best wide receivers in the MSFL. You know, not just an over-the-top guy, but a guy you can consistently go to and use in creative ways as well for the Pomeroy's offense. And it's always fun to see him play, because he's one of those guys, again, when he gets the pill, good things usually happen. So definitely a guy I'll be watching for the rest of the season, and a guy I've enjoyed watching, you know, so far in his career. And he's only in year two, so it'll be a joy to see him continue to develop and mature as a football player. On the defensive side of the ball, again, freshman defensive lineman Andrew Brown, one of the more impressive stat lines you'll see. Again, 11 tackles, 3.5 TFLs, 2 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery with an interception. So, again, stat lines like that do not happen often. I think Oakland City had a player who had a similar stat line in terms of tackles, TFL, sacks, interceptions. So, definitely high-impact guy. Hopefully, he can build off of this performance and sustain this success throughout the season. Because performances like this aren't luck. You know, sometimes players have to adhere to the situation they're in. I'm young. I might not be a full-time starter. I might have to split time. But when a guy can give you this type of production, it's a sign. It's a sign of things to come. And it's a sign of what type of player they are and could become, you know, given, you know, a full-time starting role, or once they mature in their body, or consistency. Because a broken clock can be right twice a day. But it's hard to have a performance like this, you know, once, you know, and just be a guy. So definitely might be seeing a budding star in the making in terms of Andrew Brown. And this performance on the day was good enough for him to earn player of the game accolades. And again, the Pomeroys earned this win in a very dominating fashion. So CMWC takes on Bellarmine next week as they head home in a battle of the last two unbeaten teams in the MSFL. Fontbonne takes their first loss in the season, bringing them to 2-1. The success that the Griffins had last week in the passing game was nowhere to be found in this one. Freshman quarterback Tamash Taylor only threw for 57 yards, and he threw 3 interceptions. So, you know, Chris Reckel, Davion Collins, and Taylor looked like they were going to be, a great combination receiver duo with the quarterback. And they still very much are, just struggled mightily to get anything going in this one. And it's a testament to the Pomeroy's defense to bottle up with our two very explosive receivers in Collins and Reckel. And Taylor, who's proven to be a young quarterback who's very, very capable, just couldn't string together any much positive offense in this one. On the ground, though, the Griffins did have success. They ran for 160 yards as a team, with junior running back Trevor Patton leading the way with 59 yards himself. Defensively, you know, despite the score, there's some positives there. Again, guy I feel like we mention all the time because he's usually leading the team in tackles and tackles for loss every single game. Sophomore linebacker Avion Bass had a team-high 10 tackles with three tackles for loss. So he's continuing to, no matter whether they're up, no matter whether they're down, he's going to be a high-impact player. Bass is definitely a needle mover in terms of your program. He's the type of guy I'd love to play with. I'd love to coach. Again, just an athletic mismatch, you know, 9 times out of 10. And, you know, despite team performance, he's a guy who always plays hard and is always going to prove that he's one of the best linebackers in the MSFL or the CSFL. And definitely the anchor and the star player on that defense so far into his young career. Fompon heads back home next week as they take on Walsh. Last action of the night was the nightcap between Quincy and CCSJ. Quincy won this one, which was a close game all the way through, 14-13. My player of the game was junior linebacker Ray Lingard. He had 12 tackles with 5 tackles for loss, some PBUs in there as well. So Quincy survived this one and was back and forth at one point, and then the scoring just kind of stalled, and it became a defensive game. Freshman quarterback Deuce Alloway threw for 197 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. You know, you want to see interceptions get cut down, but 3 touchdowns is 3 touchdowns. Wait a minute. Couldn't have thrown 3 touchdowns if they only scored 14 points. So let me double check that real quick. I think it was 2 touchdowns more than likely is what it actually was. Let me see that. 14-13. Yeah, so the box score has 3 touchdowns, but they only scored 14 points. So more than likely it was 2 touchdowns that Alloway would have thrown. But nevertheless, they did win the game. I'm just noticing that. But nevertheless, they did win the game. Again, still want to cut the touchdowns, you know, down despite looking very, very positive, you know, in his first game, you know, as a starter. Senior running back Chance Newton led the team in rushing yards. He had 54 yards on the ground. And then sophomore wide receiver Xavier Hinton is a guy who's one of the better receivers in the MSFL. He led the team with 3 receptions for 75 yards. And then sophomore wide receiver Camden Pye also had a touchdown in there with some receptions. So that is a really, really good wide receiver duo. Those are the two guys that their quarterbacks are looking for, no matter whether it's Manzo, whether it's Alloway. Same thing last year with Klusmeyer and Manzo. Those are their two guys. Xavier is, you know, very, very explosive, and Pye is more of that route runner, secure catch type of guy. But they make for a great pairing, and that pairing was played well enough for Quincy to get the win tonight. And on the defensive side of the ball, junior linebacker Ray Lingard had one of the best games of his season so far. 12 tackles for 5 tackles for loss. You know, it was unusually quiet early. You know, sometimes that'll happen after you have a super impressive season, a crazy season. Teams will try and, you know, run away from you, try and, you know, surmise ways to minimize your impact. And I think that's just what was happening to Lingard. But he is, you know, the reigning MSFL Defensive Player of the Year. He's our CSFL Hub Defensive Player of the Year, which we Don Award winner, which is essentially our Defensive Player of the Year. And, you know, I already knew it was only a matter of time until he had a breakout game where he re-solidified the fact that he is one of the best players in all of spring football. So big ups to him in that performance. And the Hawks defense just kept creating turnovers, you know, despite turning the ball over themselves as an offense. They kept creating turnovers. For them, it was fumbles. They kept forcing fumbles, and it kept the Crimson Wave from taking the lead once they had it nice and secured. Quincy stays home next week to welcome Midway. Other side of this one, we have CCSJ. You know, low offensive stats did not do them any favors, but they were in the game all the way through. They forced a lot of turnovers on the Quincy side of the ball. So freshman quarterback Destry Peoples threw for 5 55 yards with one touchdown. Again, not a lot of passing yards, but they managed to get a score. And then sophomore running back Dietrich Merriweather led the team in rushing yards with 41, and he also had the other touchdown on the day through the ground. So not the offensive output the Wave have been used to. You know, so far into their program's history, they haven't been the most prolific passing offense, but they've had a consistent running game. But in this one, the running game was stifled a little bit, and that ultimately kind of slowed their momentum when it came to this game and their efforts to win. Defensively, just like Fompon, just like some of these other teams, Mansfield in the CSFL, Caldwell in the CSFL, their defensive players came to play. You look at sophomore defensive back Nino Barbosa. He led the team in tackles with 8. And then the star of this defense, been best player for them so far, and one of the best players in the MSFL and all of spring football, sophomore defensive back Quintarius Davis, finished the game with 4 tackles and 3 interceptions. So the young DB continues to make his presence felt. And again, matched up with one of the better wide receiver pairings in the MSFL. And I remember seeing a 1 interception was definitely on Hinton. I forget the other 2 off the top of my head, but I shouldn't say on Hinton. They were throwing at Hinton. But as a guy who's consistently lining up against the best the MSFL has to offer, you can't ask for anything else in your corner, in your number one corner. You know what I'm saying? Some guys play aside, some guys play guys. And there's value in both, but you know, as a guy who's a football coach and talent evaluator, reporter, you know, award voter, all the type of things and titles that I hold, that's something I personally value for a defensive back, is guys who line up best on best. And, you know, turnover is a turnover, but all numbers are not created equal. You know, I'll take a corner who might give up a couple catches, a couple yards, but he was playing the dude. And he had the belief in his coach, and he got the you-know-whats to line up, you know, against the best, you know, that this team has to offer, the best this league or conference has to offer, versus a guy who looks like a stud, but, you know, he's lining up against the team's number 4 receiver or number 3 receiver, and it's like you're supposed to win that matchup. Quintarius Davis lines up against the best week in and week out, and you can definitely see, you know, that he's capable of competing with anybody who lines up in front of him. CCSJ finishes up their 3-game road trip next week at Oakland City. So that brings us to the end of our week 3 review, our week 3 matchups, lots of exciting games, some blowouts, lots of games in between. So it was a really, really good week, more amazing performances. I think now week 3, we're starting to settle in both leagues. You know, we're starting to see who's going to be able to compete, you know, for conference championship, league championship in both leagues. And we're starting to see what teams still have a ways to go in terms of their development, particularly in the MSFL. We're seeing a flip. You know, we're seeing some teams who were maybe a little bit more dominant last year struggle a little bit early in the season, and some teams who were at the bottom of the league last year flip it, and now they're at the tops of the league this year. And we're seeing some of our usual suspects continue to have sustained success. So great football all around, MSFL and CSFL. Great week 3. I'm your host as always, Kyle. Talk to you guys next time. Peace.